Foundation is set in the far future when humanity has expanded into a vast galactic empire. A mathematician comes forward to announce that he's crunched the numbers and found that the empire is on the verge of collapse, and humanity is about to enter a 30,000-year dark age. That's the bad news. The good news is that he's got an idea that could shrink that right down to just 1,000 years. It's based on a series of books by Isaac Asimov that once received a Hugo Award for Best Science Fiction Series of All Time. It's never successfully been adapted for TV or film until now. But is this new Apple TV Plus series any good? I'm Glenn Weldon, and today we're talking about Foundation on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With Early Paycheck, you can get your direct deposit up to 2 days earlier. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Joining us from her home in Maryland is Petra Mayer, an editor for NPR Books. Welcome back, Petra.
Hi, happy to be here.
Also joining us is iHeartRadio producer Joelle Monique. Welcome back, Joelle.
Hi, Glenn. What's up?
Not much. So the action in Foundation shifts around a bit. Kind of a lot, actually. First, you got a mathematician, Harry Seldon, played by Jared Harris, and his protege, Gail Dornick, played by Lulu Bell. Their assertion that the empire is about to fall doesn't sit well with the emperor, or literally three emperors. It's a set of three differently aged clones of the original emperor, who's held power for many generations now. The youngest clone for most of the series is played by Cassian Bilton, the middlest played by Lee Pace, and the oldest played by Terrence Mann. They exile Harry Seldon and his followers to the remote planet of Terminus, and then 35 years later, the warden of that outpost, played by Leah Harvey, attempts to prevent Seldon's followers from being dragged into an interplanetary war. Now, that's a lot, and it's really just scratching the surface. I haven't even gotten to the space nuns, but there are space nuns. Joelle, what'd you think of Foundation?
Oh, man. I wrote a review for The Wrap, and I was like, this is a sumptuous feast for the eyes. It's so beautiful. Production design really showed out. Actors really. Lee Pacing is pacing all over this, just really bringing his full Lee Pace energy to this piece. My biggest critique of it up top was for a future where we can't even remember where we come from, i.e. the planet Earth, and where all different types of races have come together. That's the only form of diversity available. Mm-hmm. We have no queer characters, no fat characters. We have one disabled character. Technically, he's colorblind, but he's got a patch for that. And it's like, is this the future? Just straight cis people, as far as the eye can see. A little frustrating. Mm-hmm. And I think that for something that has such an incredible pilot, it did not stick the landing as the series continues.
Okay. You make a good point. This is getting mixed reviews. I think both The Times and Rolling Stone went with headlines saying, the math doesn't add up, which, I get it. See what you did? I'm not above it. Petra, you've read these books. What'd you make of this adaptation, this very loose adaptation?
So, yeah, I had read the books long ago when I was a baby nerd, and I had to refresh my memory in order to prepare myself because I like to neurotically over-prepare for everything. And I got to say, re-encountering the original Foundation books as a grown-ass woman in 2021 is a whole thing.
Yeah.
Man, it felt like getting pinched on the butt and told not to worry my pretty head about the galaxy. And given that Asimov was a notorious butt pincher, it comes through. I think I was ranting to a lot of people about how I felt like, at least in the first book particularly, that like Asimov was the spiritual ancestor of every terrible man on the internet who wants to trump your feminine emotions with his capital L logic. Fairness, it gets a little better in the later books, but like the TV series sidesteps that by not remotely adapting the original books. I mean, I had a big problem with it at first, partially because the opening episodes are just slow as molasses and really dull. But also it took me a while to let go of the idea that I needed to expect an actual adaptation of the books. And when I finally realized that this was basically AU Foundation fan fiction, then I was like, oh, there's a moment that I'm not going to talk about because it's very spoilery. It is not in the original books. It has to do with the trajectory of Harry Seldon's life. I'll just say that.
Okay.
And when this moment occurred, and people will know what I'm talking about when they get there, I was like, okay, I have to let go of the original books that I didn't even like that much and just fully give myself over to this fanfic AU. And when I thought about it more, like, because fan fiction is so often a mechanism that people use to engage with content that has gaps or problems, the idea of taking a fanfic approach to Foundation seemed kind of brilliant. But as Joelle very astutely pointed out, they don't stick the landing in a lot of important ways.
Yeah, I hear you. And look, at the end of the day, you made a show that features Lee Pace swanning around in an open robe.
Ooh-wee.
So yeah, fine.
Shirtless a lot. Wait till you get to the episodes where he's on the desert planet.
Being all haughty, being all, you know, literally imperious. Mm. And he's just regarding everyone around him down that aquiline nose of his like they're all just small, stubborn stains.
And those beetly brows.
Dress nice. Have someone brush your hair. It's not the most important thing we'll do this week, but it's the most important thing they'll do in their lifetime.
Turns out that's my kink. I learned something about myself. I just love, you guys mentioned it, I love the way this show looks. And I'm not just talking about Lee Pace's torso. I am talking about how much money was spent to build this world. And I don't want to turn this into an Asimov dumping ground, but I did try to read these books many, many, many times. I am just always intrigued by his ideas, but I find Asimov's prose, just sentence by sentence, line by line, just infuriatingly clumsy. It's, you know, Petra, we've talked about this kind of dialogue, the, as you know, I'm your sister kind of dialogue, which is like, this is not how anybody talks. I have read well-written sci-fi. This is not a genre thing. This is an Asimov thing. So this is perfect. Pour it into my eyeballs. Absolutely. I get the ideas of Asimov, not necessarily a lot of the plot, but I did get a little confused at places. There are some time jumps. Did either of you, I mean, I think this show does reward close attention. Did either of you get confused at any time?
I felt it was pretty clear. There's one time jump where Gail goes back to her home planet where I wasn't quite sure. I was like, did she go back? Did we go back in time? And I usually am not a big fan of time jumps because of this exact thing. Like, it just becomes very confusing and muddled. And you're like, I don't know where I am in the story or where these characters are in their storyline. But I thought for the most part, they held it down pretty well. I was able to navigate the back and forth.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. I thought the time jumps were handled pretty well. I mean, I was confused for a lot of the early episodes, just because, as I said, I was expecting a slightly more faithful adaptation of the original books. And I kept like getting stuck on things, well, like the clone emperors. And so I have to cop to not having read the entire Foundation expanded universe. So like maybe some of this stuff is taken from the later books or the ones that were written after his death. I don't know. But I just kept being like, wait, what? There's clone emperors? That what? Yeah. What?
I'm with you, Petra, because I did turn the first few episodes into a two-screen experience, despite myself trying to figure out how closely they were adhering to the books. And when I learned,
I did the same thing. I Wikipedia'd myself.
I Wikied the hell out of it. I don't recommend doing that. By episode 3 or 4, I was like, why am I doing this to myself? Why do I care? Just let the show be the show, exactly as you kind of let go. Now, it is, I'll agree with you all, it's talky, it's cerebral. And for all its claims to be hard sci-fi, it is treating math exactly the way a fantasy series would treat magic, right? There's an episode where we get 5 minutes of basically trigonometry where Gail figures out where she is in space. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of, in a way, it's got to stem the series. Like, this is a show for dorks. Because if you want the sentence, his math is correct, to be spoken in hushed, reverent awe, like it's the most badass thing in the world to balance an equation, step right the hell up. I mean, I think this show is going to create an engineer or two, maybe rocket scientists.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that was the thing that was the most revelatory for me about going back to the original series and going, wait a minute, this is not hard sci-fi. Like,
no.
It just isn't. It's Plato's Symposium in space is what it is, combined with a little Sherlock Holmes where you've got like short, unassuming guys like one-upping everybody with their deductive powers, you know? And especially towards the end of the original trilogy, it just becomes like this endless series of, but wait, it's really this, but wait, it's really that, but no, wait, this is a triple cross. No, it's a quadruple cross. No, psych, I'm actually an agent of blah, 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 you know?
Joelle, did you come to the series clean without knowing the Foundation books like me?
I was asked to review it, so I read the first books. I read Foundation and then I did the Wikipedia like Google search and tried to like dig into it. But for the most part, I was here for for the science fiction, and then I stayed for the romance. Oh my gosh. Listen, to Petra's point, they are doing a lot of fan fictioning of this series. If you know anything about Asimov's work, you know not a lot of women and not a lot of love, not a lot of romance, not a lot of sex. All of that is nowhere to be found. And they bring you like the heavy hitters. Like Alfred Enoch comes in and is just like, I'm just going to look dreamily at this girl and it's going to just make you feel things. Ladies, if you were feeling him in How to Get Away with Murder, you're going to love him here. He's so brilliant. It gives you all like the forlorn looks. It's just so good. I really liked a lot of the romance. I liked a lot of women in powerful positions, and it makes some of these conversations that women in power have to have with their mothers, with family members, with other women about the decisions they're going to make as women in their lives, like really kind of come alive in a way that I think is often overlooked in science fiction, especially science fiction that is specifically survival based, right? A lot of times that's just survival instincts go constantly. And I think that there was a lot of time to just think about, you know, there's no aliens in this series. So it's all humanity and it's all marinating in, you know, it's like holding up a mirror to society in a more profound way than I think a lot of science fiction does. Because a lot of times, like, we're going out, we're going to explore, we're going to discover new things. And this entire series is all about discovering, like, what are we going to do as a people to protect one another? And I think, particularly now, is a really important question to be asking.
Can I just mention one thing that bugged me? And you can all tell me if I'm, like, overthinking this.
Sure.
The character of Farah, who I think they invented for the show, and the Anacreons in general, kind of bugged me. Because they are linked in the very first episode to a massive terror attack on Trantor that like kills hundreds of millions of people and has decades of resonance on the planet. And they are very obviously coded as Middle Eastern.
Right.
And maybe I'm just caping or white knighting or something, but like it bugged me. And I thought Farah could have been a great character because I love to see a woman be brutal and heartless and terrible.
Yeah.
But like overlying that all was just like, sort of the squirm and the uncomfortableness of the way that they were portrayed on screen.
I don't think that you're overreacting, especially because from a storytelling perspective, there's so much more to explore there. Like, I don't like characters that are only angry, right? Even characters who have earned a right to be angry. You know, to me, it's maybe one of the more one-dimensional characters we get in the series, which is definitely frustrating.
Yeah.
I really feel like this is a series that in season 2, 3, 4 might find it, hopefully not till 4, but hopefully in a season 2 finds a lot more grounding and is really pushing beyond the borders of its pages. As much fan fictioning as was happening in this first season, I think there's a lot of room to grow and sort of push these things if they can rebound from what was truly a terrible finale.
Maybe I won't watch the last episode.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it didn't stick the landing, absolutely, Joelle, but like it brought together timelines in a way that I thought was promising, which makes me look forward to the second season.
I do look forward to the second season. I just think if you're going to play a surprise for half an hour at the end of the season, it should be a surprise instead of the exact thing I think is going to happen for the whole episode. Yeah. That was a little bit of a bummer.
That is a thing with the show. It's a little bit, once you figure out what it's doing, which is not the original book, then it gets a little bit predictable in places.
All right. So it sounds like we all have reservations, but ultimately we recommend, yes?
I would say you can walk to see it. You don't have to run. It'll be there. But if you're like, I don't have anything to watch, or if you're having a day where you're like, I could really just look at something beautiful all day, woo, turn this on. It's so gorgeous to look at.
It's really
pretty. Don't watch it on your work laptop like I did.
We want to know what you think about Foundation. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thanks for having us, Glenn.
Thank you. This is so fun.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you got a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all tomorrow when we will be talking about The Morning Show.